Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 803, Anniversary Overlay, recorded live on November 4th, 2021. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am Godzilla T.
And I'm Hoss.
We're becoming regulars at this. Get it? All the promo stuff with becoming it. Sorry, I had to explain that one, because no one wanted to react to that at all. But we are back on the live stream on Twitch. We've been away for a couple of weeks due to me being out of town and some other things, but we are here behind actually quite a wave of Halo news and videos and whatnot. It seems like the promotional campaign is well underway. We got two cannon fodders in a week, which is also crazy. We've got celebrations for Halo turning 20 years old as of yesterday, which is awesome. Happy birthday, Halo. 20 freaking
Halo can almost drink in most states.
That's true. One more year and it can. That's funny. Gotta have some kind of cocktail
announced. Is it 18 in Canada, though, still?
I said some.
Well, Canada's not.
Our most.
They should be. We should own.
Then you actually be part of America and join the U.S.
America.
America.
Coming for you, Laird.
Right. Laird, Shyway, Green Skull, Minolta, yep. Canuck, all the Canucks up there. Yeah, so as of yesterday, since we're recording this podcast on the 4th, Halo is now 20 years old, which is just insane to think about.
Which makes me feel older than I am.
That's what, a third of your lifespan?
How does
not okay, quite? How Jesus, is Halo, how old do you think I am?
I know you're not that old.
How is Halo 20? The first one came out November 15th of 01.
Was it 15th?
Yeah.
No, Xbox is 20.
Oh, okay. Xbox is 20. Sorry.
That was a day and date release, wasn't it?
I thought there was okay.
Now I'm gonna search the original Xbox.
That's what I'm doing too. Halo or Xbox release, Xbox original release,
November 15th. Yeah, we're so 11 days premature.
I'm sorry,
here, fellas.
Why are we? So why? I was confused by the post yesterday. Then never mind. We are.
We are 11 days away.
Pins add to the bingo card when Dustin gets a Halo fact wrong.
But leave it. You know, I'm here to keep these two in check. That's what I'm here for.
Yes, Haas is the.
I was following his lead.
Okay, November 15th. We are 2 weeks early. I'm sorry. But regardless, there is Xbox and Halo turning 20 years old celebrations, and they made a post yesterday about the 20-year celebration. So that's my bad. I'm sorry. You can call me a non-Halo
pleb.
Fan.
Scrub.
Pleb.
Fake. A hack.
Fake news. Fake news.
Halo 2 is 17-5 today.
Yeah. Yep.
So, there we go.
It's almost old enough to vote.
Oh, man.
Old enough to drink and old enough to vote.
That is my very first midnight release, and I will forever look back fondly on those days. That was a
honestly,
magical time.
I really did wish I participated in the midnight release of Halo 2. Unfortunately, I had this thing called a job. Anyway.
A soft J.
No, it was pretty hard J because I was working for my dad at the time. So calling in sick, not the thing you're going to do. I did go to the midnight launch of Reach, which was awful. And it was the time I got a really bad taste in my mouth for a certain game store.
Toys R Us, huh?
Yeah, I will stop right there and not say anything more.
GameStop.
But yeah, I really wish I would have been able to attend, be part of the festivities for Halo 2, because I was really excited about it.
Yeah. I've done every midnight. This is going to be my first not midnight release at a store for a Halo game. It's going to be weird. Or launch party midnight release, because sure. I did the ODSD and Reach at now it's called the Mopop, but the EMP, formerly known, GameStop for 2, 3. Like, it's going to... 5 was down at the Seattle Microsoft store. MCC was GameStop. It's gonna be weird. It's a new era for sure.
Yeah,
I think we're seeing that a lot.
Let's see. Halo is still pretty new to me during the Halo 2 launch time window. Like afterwards, I heard all the stories and saw how big it was, but I didn't really get into launch type things until Halo Reach, actually.
Well, I remember watching the Halo 2 launch on TV. I mean, it was all over the place.
Yeah, it was a huge televised event.
I don't think there was a local news station that wasn't covering something. And it was hitting the national news, too, which was really surprising for a video game launch.
Yeah. Yeah, my midnight releases are Halo Reach, Halo 4, and then Halo 5 was at not Halo Fest in California when they had the stream and they showed off the first two episodes of Nightfall, and then
you were really depressed. Oh,
what, because of MCC?
No, Nightfall.
Am I missing some reference?
You said they showed off the first episodes of Nightfall.
Yeah,
and then you were depressed, right?
I was a little disappointed, I guess, but I wouldn't say I was depressed. But yeah, I'll be in London for this launch, so
You'll just have to, you know, run over to Receptor's house and do a midnight launch in.
He's up in Wales, though. That's a pretty far drive from London.
Just hop a helicopter. It just buzz you right up there.
Helicopter. No, not train or airplane, just helicopter.
Yeah, well, why screw around a plane or train? Just hop a helicopter. They're nice and cheap.
Sure. You find me one and I'll consider it.
Hey, I can find you one. As long as you pay for it.
Right. Oh, man. So, yeah, Halo will turn 20 in a few more days, in 11 more days. Jumped the gun on that one. We might be doing a podcast on that day. We will see. I guess a little update since mentioning that. We're going to be having a schedule change after next week's podcast because of things with holiday travels and other conflicts like that. So, live streaming.
Holidays podcast. And holidays travels.
Exactly. Podcast will still be live streamed. We're just going to be shifting a day. Instead of doing them on Thursdays, we'll be doing them on a different day of the week, which is still to be determined. We'll have more information on that next week, but that is something that's coming. Well, enough of the tangents. Let's get into the swing of things, starting with our Podtacular update. GT, how has been the Fragment Friday for the last couple of weeks?
It's been pretty good. We've been doing Halo 5.
Very good.
Last week, we did kind of just a free-for-all and did mostly Super Fiesta. We did play some Castle Wars. Had a lot of fun with that.
Very good.
Actually had some really good flag runs, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any more progress
I have to, I have to say, teammates need to learn what the horn, you know, the beep beep means when you eat me, me. That means get out of the way.
It means get out of the way.
Not jump in front of the Warthog Stellar.
Oh, Pillar. That's funny.
Yeah, somebody had a problem with running in front of my Warthog repeatedly.
That's doesn't usually help.
No.
Fewer bodies does not contribute to succeeding in matches. Anyways.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see, what did we do the week before that? We did Halo 5 again. Yeah. the week before that as well. So
seems to be the popular thing at the moment.
All in all, pretty good time. Well, last week we kind of forgot to put up the polls, so I flipped a coin.
Hey, that works. I was away. I didn't put up the poll, and
I didn't either because I was at work.
Yep.
And totally forgot to do that.
Yep.
Haas, what's your excuse? Oh.
Does he know the protocol? Yeah. Life just in general. And to follow up on that, for tomorrow, we are actually going to be playing the final maps in the Fiesta Frenzy Forge contest, which is preluding our tournament, which is next weekend. We have picked the top three. The finalists have been picked. Forge Hub will be making that announcement tomorrow. So by the time you're listening to this on download, you actually may already know what the maps are, but we have the top three selected. Well, top 10, and then we have the top three placings. Fun little fact, the top two were tied for points, and the third and fourth were tied for points. So we actually had to break it down by most number of high votes for those maps. So very close races for the Forge contest, which was very interesting to hear that it was really that close. We got some new gifted subs from Pins, as normal. 10 gifted subs. He's up to 248 gifted subs. Pins, you are crazy. We got Quillbill. GT, you have a sub now. And it's Cosplay.
Well, geez, I'll have to use my Prime sub somewhere else now. Oh.
Yeah, those Prime subs, they'll sneak away. Haas, you have a sub now.
Woo!
Ghost, Speg, Samples, Liquid Phantom, Retz, and Gamer Pino. So thank you, Pins.
So you now have a sub, whether you wanted it or not.
And you can fill that on your new bingo card if you got that on the refresh, which I think we're doing now, because GT has the bingo card up. I have the bingo card up. Yeah. So that's happening now. On the company accommodation side of things, we have 15 of our next accommodation that we need, which is Lucky. Cluster Luck, Last Shot, Sayonara, or Fastball medals. We only need 15. We're so freaking close on those. And then we need 74, Forgot to Pay the Toll, which is kill the driver of a moving vehicle by sniping them. And then we've got the bottom four. Killing Spartans with grenades, killing an enemy Spartan with a ground vehicle, killing Marines, and killing enemies with shoulder bashes. So we're almost closing in on the next combination. 15 away.
Almost.
Out of 3,000.
Will we make it? Nope.
Not before Infinite, but our next two we might make before Infinite comes.
Might.
We might. We'll have to see what happens. On the Achieving Halo side of things, we've been going through the Season 8 challenges and unlocking all the customizations in the exchange. So we'll still continue to do that over the next few weeks. In case people didn't hear it, the deadline for the multiplayer matchmaking-based achievements on the 360 titles has been extended to a month out. So I believe it's either January 13th or 15th now is when the matchmaking servers for the Xbox 360 games will be turned off, so we now have an extra month to get those achievements if you do not have them. Mm-hmm. That applies to Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4. All the Spartan Assault, Spartan Strike, and Halo Wars achievements on 360 will not be affected. Those you can still do online co-op and matchmaking for those games to still get those achievements. It's just the first-person shooter games that will be going away. We were doing a few of those streams since Season 8 came out. We kind of took a hiatus to jump on some of the Halo or the Season 8 stuff in MCC since some of those are time-based. So we'll probably jump back into doing some more 360 achievements in December during the holidays. So if you need help in some of those achievements, let us know. We've been trying to partner up with the folks over in the Halo Completionist Discord to get some of those done. A lot of very nice folks over there who have helped me and several other Podtacular members get some of those achievements in 360. They've been very helpful. very supportive. So if anyone is wanting to go out there and grind those achievements, that is certainly the place to go. Also, you finished out with all yours? Are you planning to try to squeeze those in before the end?
I got everything except for Halo Wars done, so I feel like I'm pretty safe.
Very nice. And I think GTA.
I have two left.
Are those Halo 3 based ones or those
Reach?
Reach. I think one of them is what, the CTF one in that one map pack.
CTF and an armor lock one. At least I think it's all I got left. But anyway,
we could easily get those probably with the completionist guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the CTF one, it's just uninstalling the map packs that.
No, it doesn't work. It just will sit there and let you search and search and search and search and search. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That trick used to
work. I already tried that. It used to. Doesn't anymore.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, I tried that and I literally let it search for 20 minutes and it never found a game.
Well, dang it. I guess you just gotta farm that one. Play as many games as you can until
your random luck to get one on Orbital or something.
Well, at least for Halo Reach, you have 6 opportunities to get a different map and game mode combo with the veto system, at least.
Well, you get 6 chances and 2 maps.
Well, depending on the playlist.
Anyway.
Anyways. So that's what's been up with us going on with the streams and the game nights. If you want to participate in any of those, we have our Fragment Fridays on Friday nights. We'll be doing Halo 5 this weekend, but we normally have a poll up between MCC and Halo 5. Once Infinite comes out, that's probably going to be at least Infinite for a month, if not 2, and then we might go back to polls to see if people want to do Halo 5 or MCC.
3, 4, 7, 12-ish.
So we'll see how long it takes before people start asking, hey, can we do something else? But I think for the time being after Infinite launches, it'll be Halo Infinite for a good month or two, at least. We'll see how that goes, but for the next month, we'll be putting up that poll after this week to see what people want to play, whether it's going to be Halo 5 or MCC. So you can hop on over and join us there. And then for Achieving Halo, we're still doing a couple more Season 8 type stuff with the release of some of the content that's coming out for the celebration of Halo turning 20. We will be stocking up on some season points probably this weekend and finishing out some of those seasonal challenges for Season 8. And then probably later into the month, into December, we'll be swapping back over to doing some 360 achievements and helping people get some of those done with the Halo Completionist community. Over on the Tales from the Foxhole side of things, we have a few people sharing some clips that they got. So Tepec shared a clip of a jump in Halo Reach on the, not long that I saw this. What's the mission? It's the mission right after Nightfall where they assault the spire. Tip of the spear. That's what it is. Apparently doing a jump into the Pelican that has the bridge that drops down. It's a crazy freaking trick launch, and it's just, I don't know how they have the time to figure all this stuff out. I really don't.
Yeah, and, well, the talent to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, between like him and Mint Blitz and all those other campaign tricksters, it's just crazy how creative they come up with some of these just wonky ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then in our actual Tales from the Foxhole channel, Prestige posted a video. I don't know if this is his mod or probably another mod, but the cutscene in Halo 2 where Johnson makes the comment about, for a brick, he flew pretty good. Someone actually just modded out the Master Chief model and put in an actual brick.
A brick!
So there's that. And then Bobby posted a couple of the screenshots from Halo Wars 2, him doing some online AI bot matches, which is pretty much all he does, but just him completely slaying out AI bots. It looks like he had a couple people just quit early on, so he basically single-handedly beat three AIs on his own. 1v3. So Bobby just keeps on grinding out Halo Wars stuff. And then Archangel posted a new little art piece that he did called Become, kind of fitting with all the Become verbiage that has proliferated the Halo Infinite advertising campaign. So a little bit of a piece that he did for Halo Infinite. And MH Cosplay has his podcast that he's a part of, The Crimptum, and he's up to episode 20. So, and he's also here in the chat. So 20 podcasts is pretty good. Keep on at it, dude. And also, Pins has been working on some Halo Trivial Pursuit cards. Are you going to bring those to our 20th anniversary dinner, wherever that ends up being, Pins? in 4 years? So that'll be cool. And that's all we got for the community creations and Tales from the Foxhole side of things. Haas, have you been doing anything Halo-related before we get into the Halo news specifically?
Just following the news right now. It's been pretty difficult to go back to the older games since the flights. Just they've had their time in the sun, and now it's ready for that new experience.
There you go. Well, we are just shy of a month away from Infinite, so hopefully that'll bring some or quench some thirst for some new games
for you. Right.
Mr. Is COD Live yet? In the chat. Anywho. So before we get into the major news, let's go ahead and take a look at some playlist updates, which I don't actually remember seeing anything anywhere. CGT, you found...
I fired up Halo 5 and looked.
Yeah, because they actually haven't posted them yet.
Yeah, I didn't see anything new for MCC either, so...
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that.
For Halo 5, we have Community Slayer in. And then we have Ranked Free-for-All in the Ranked playlist.
Okay. Very good. And then last week was in MCC, Shoddy Snipers in place of Escalation Slayer returning to Action Sack. Yeah, I think they forgot a little bit about what's the playlist updates for the MCC and Halo 5. So
they're in the home stretch.
Yeah, they are. They're distracted with other more important things, which it makes sense. But yeah, Community Slayer. And then I guess someone could launch MCC and see what MCC is on now.
What do you need to know? Just the playlist?
Yeah, what the featured playlist is in social. Okay. On the MCC dev and flight updates, the last post that we actually had was from last week right before Halloween. There was a little new Halloween nameplate, which I think I forgot to actually get. Oops. No, I probably got it because I did Achieving Halo on that night, I think. But there was a new Halloween-themed nameplate that was put up there. And then we have a new update to MCC that actually came out yesterday. Most of the stuff is in preparation for some other things that they're getting ready to roll out a little bit later on. So most of that being the 20th anniversary celebration stuff, but there's a couple other things in there that they haven't said yet what they're doing on the back end. Also with this patch, game saves and theater films, again, breaking, as it seems like with every update that they do, those game saves and theater films kind of just break. So.
It looks like Reach CE Anniversary Playlist.
Reach CE Anniversary. Woohoo!
Okay. Well, very nice. Wonder if that'll extend into next week then, given that CE's anniversary is still
11 days away.
Yeah. Into the next, what would be next week's rotation of playlist updates.
Yeah, I was going to check MCC, but I have a 9 gigabyte update because apparently the Xbox can't do auto updates anymore?
Yeah, I don't rely on auto updates anymore because it just does not seem to work. So, anyways. On the news side of things, we've got two cannon fodders. And yes, cosplay, I know. We're getting there. It's on the newsreel. Just hold your horses. We're getting to the
armor. We're working on it.
We're getting there. There's an order to things. The first
sit, cannon Ubu, sit.
Oh. The first cannon fodder from last week was called Zeta Testing from Grimm. Not a lot of new stuff in here. It's mostly just a sum up of a lot of the promotional stuff that's come out. So the campaign overview and then the Banished Rise, which was kind of an interesting play on the Become video that we got during the not E3 press brief this year. And it's overlaid with Escherim basically saying that hope is our weakness, and Chief's armor is basically a tomb. So kind of interesting to get the dynamic back and forth with that one, which I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That little promotional video kind of reminds me of some of the older style promotional material where it's like you have this kind of opposing force that's playing off of other pieces of the promotional material that's already come out and kind of really drumming up this opposite force. So I really like the direction that they're going on. It sucks that it's kind of like within a month that's a lot of this stuff is really starting to come out and really entice.
Mm-hmm. At least
from my perspective, just having such
a short window. It would have been nice if they had started at the beginning of last month.
Or even like closer to...
Well, sooner than that, but...
Yeah. But still, it's pretty cool promotional stuff, and it's definitely one of those things that kind of just was like, whoa, this is pretty serious. Taking what should be a inspirational trailer and then inserting all of the Escherim clips in there and saying, well, no, all of this thing that you're relying on hope for and inspiration on is a detriment to you. It's not. So like drumming up that conflict is really cool.
Oh, and, you know, Escherim was scary before, and now I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, he's a lot better now. Like, glammed up and everything.
So, maybe there's something. That's the in-game cinematic, not... Somebody was saying that's separate... like not... That's not, like, in-game. That's, like, external Escherim.
This is I don't know if this is rendered in engine, but it's a video that they put together as a promotional video that they showed after that they released after the campaign overview.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like for the most part it is one of those things where it seemed like it's kind of in engine rendered for this piece. But probably.
Well, yeah, there's definitely differences in the Escherim portions of the video than there is in the rest of it, which is pieces of the one of the earlier promotional trailers where they had the Spartan armor being built. Yeah. So there, you know, you can definitely tell a difference between the two. So it might be an in-game video or in-engine video at least.
It could be. I mean, it's hard to tell without having a lot of other campaign footage to compare it to, but right. It certainly looks like it could be in engine, and it's just there's a little bit more detail that they did specifically for this piece that mm-hmm. might not be in what we're going to experience with the game when we actually get our hands on it. Or maybe it does just look that good, because from the campaign overview that we saw last week, it was a vast improvement.
Oh, yeah.
What we got last year. So it could very well be from engine. With how much that they've improved, I wouldn't be surprised if that was actually in engine.
Oh, yeah. There was major improvements. I won't argue that at all.
Yeah. The whole concept of just, again, taking what the hope narrative was from the original version of that video and having the banished overlay on it saying this is actually your doom because of your hope. I just like that dynamic. I think it's perfect to help drum up the conflict that they're trying to portray or they want to portray for the campaign.
Yeah, they're trying to generate that hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it definitely.
Good video, 343. We love it. And then the rest of the cannon fodder just kind of goes over a few other things that have come out. So there's Divine Wind, which is out now, which, yes, that's another book now that I'm behind on.
Got and four books. For those of you that have a bingo card, he is now officially behind another book because I have completed it.
I have marked that off on my bingo card because I do have it on my bingo card. I have four books to finish before Infinite comes out, which is basically at this point a book a week. We'll see how quickly that goes. And then there's a couple other things, a couple new screenshots in here. One of them piloting a Banshee, another one of a forward operating base. And there's a little tidbit in here which Grim drops that I think might be of important note for those lore enthusiasts. Make sure you take back every UNSC forward operating base you can. Rumor has it they all have stories to tell. So if you really want to dive into that lore aspect, taking all those bases back, while not necessarily to complete the game, will glean some interesting little story tidbits. And I wonder how much of that's going to play into the whole narrative of what happened to Cortana. I have a feeling that's where they're going to come up.
I don't know. I can see them intermixing it in with the regular story, especially the first part of the campaign.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they won't at all bring it into the mainline story, but other little supporting tidbits that might kind of enhance some of those discoveries or things that get brought up just from the mainline story and just add that depth and further complexity into it, which as a lore
definitely looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pins, just realized trying to get all those documented is going to be horribly difficult. Yeah, you might want to pre-get that timeline updated, Pins, before you start running through the campaign.
Have it open, that way you can just fill it out while you go along.
It's going to be recording and then like pausing the game, going back, listening to the recording, typing it all up in the spreadsheet. It's going to take Pin 3 months to finish the campaign because he's going to try to get every base, every piece of lore. That isn't a bad idea. You're giving him ideas. Oh, that's funny. We've got a few spoiler-free reviews from Hidden Xperia and Sacred Icon Halo. And we also have a Troy Denning interview with the Game Dev Breakdown YouTube channel as well. Halo Sacrifice, which was a little pre-serped story that was included in the Walmart version of Shadows of Reach, is now available in PDF download. So if you were not able to get your copy on the Walmart version, now you can actually get this Halo Sacrifice story as a PDF and read it at your leisure. Now it's free to everybody. As part of some of the upcoming content that we're getting on the latest edition of the Halo Encyclopedia, which I think is what we're on edition 4 now of that.
Supposedly this is supposed to be the thick boy. So,
well, this will be, I think, the fourth thick boy.
No, that we've like gotten. It makes the last one look anorexic.
Oh, okay. Well, we will see.
We will see.
Yes. But there's a piece that was done by Stanton Fang that they provided for this update. So you have that to go over as well. And then with the new part of Waypoint coming, there's a lot of the universe content stuff on the current version of Waypoint that will actually not be making it over. And Grim has put out there that Halopedia has been archiving all of the cannon fodders and universe stuff. So there will be a copy of all that over on Halopedia for all the lore nerds. I have not pinned because it's part of Shadows of Reach, which is I haven't read yet. So no, I haven't read that yet. So that's it for the first cannon fodder. The second cannon fodder just came out yesterday. This is kind of in tandem with the anniversary announcement that they made yesterday. This goes over some of the history of the armor that we're getting in MCC. So the SPI, the semi-powered infiltration armor, which everyone has been clamoring over since the it was revealed on the cover of Ghosts of Onyx, is making its way finally into Halo, which I think has a lot of people very excited, especially all the lore nerds that have wanted to get their hands on that armor forever. So everyone who has been clamoring for that, you can thank 343 for finally making that a reality. There is a little bit of history on that suit. If you really want to dig into it, though, Ghosts of Onyx goes over that armor a lot. What its purpose was, kind of being a more lightweight makeshift armor for the Spartan 3s.
That didn't have cheaper armor.
Yeah. Didn't have all the bells and whistles that the Mjolnir class armor did. And it was definitely cheaper because at the time the Spartan 3s were considered a lot more disposable than the Spartan 2s. Of course, all of the technology that came from the Orion program, the Spartan 2 program, and Spartan 3s kind of all culminated into what we know today as the Spartan 4s. So a little bit of detail of the history behind these armors is in this update. There's also the Orion armor, which is going to be part of Halo 2 Anniversary customization, which we haven't seen customization for Halo 2 Anniversary in quite some time. Mm-hmm. But that is the original armor that we saw during the Halo CE presentation. Like way back in the
OG presentation when it was supposed to be Mac.
Yeah. So that's now coming to MCC as a full-fledged piece of armor for Halo 2 Anniversary. So that's a good throwback.
I wish those were just given to us, not
behind credit. Season points.
Yeah, I have issue with the season point system in there. I get that it's a free pass every, you know, month and free content that they're giving, but I just feel like it kind of, you have to play in ways that isn't how certain people want to play to get those points and get all those unlocks done, and especially since these are going to be timed, but it seems like these are going to rotate throughout the year, but I'm still a little bummed that those weren't just kind of like given to us as part of the celebration, that they have to be earned. Like, if they were going to earn them, play a match of CE or something, you know, simple.
I mean, that's what those challenges are, though. Like, there's pretty simple challenges in MCC that include campaign. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you can only get, what, 12 points or something? 5 points? I don't know.
I mean, you have different challenges have different amount of points, and then each rank you go up also gets you a point as well. So
that's only for the first 100 ranks. After that, you do not get unlock points.
I mean, if someone's maxed out, then yeah, unfortunately, you don't get the XP points anymore. But I mean, there's at least like 10 to 12 points worth of challenges that you could do every week. And heck, we get like 7 or 8 of them in 2 hours of playing Achieving Halo every week. So they're not difficult to get. I get what you mean, though.
I'm not saying that they're difficult. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to play 5 firefight. You know, that's not just how to get I want to play my Halo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to play what I want to play.
You'll really love the season pass system in Infinite, because they take that to a whole nother level.
Oh boy, don't I know it.
Yeah. I hope they change that. I think it's too late for them to change it for launch, but I really hope they change that.
Yeah, I hope it's early that they get that swapped, because
that's a big messed up, I think, on their part. Yep.
Miscalculation. Everything else around the Battle Pass, I think, is great. Except for that part.
Yeah. No progression due to completion of the game. It's all based on challenges. Which is stupid. But that's just me. Anyways. And then there's also a new little series called UNSC Archives. This first one is called Unspoken, which is about a soldier telling, basically addressing a family of one of his basically battle buddies that he knew in combat, telling them that his son was proud and always thought of them, and that they were actually part of a secret mission that eventually led to acquiring S.H.I.E.L.D. technology that got incorporated into the Spartan program. So,
yep.
I'm curious to see what else they do with these little videos. It's not directly tied to the game.
Story at people, all.
As some people have pointed out on cool. Twitter.
Yeah. I'm definitely getting nods to the Halo 3 ad campaign.
Yes.
With the belief campaign. You know, starting with the Eshram, it reminds me of the Halo 3 Prophet trailer where he's like, you are all demons, blah, 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 blah. And then this you definitely reminds me of the Believe ads. So definitely seeing the direction they're going and who they're nodding to, which I think for a lot of people is
honestly
very welcomed.
Of all the ad campaigns, Halo 3 is probably the one I enjoyed the most.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
even though it didn't really have anything to do with the game. You know, it didn't talk about the game at all. It just was a hype train for the game.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's okay. You know, we don't need everything spoiled.
No, we don't. And honestly, this supplementary material can still hype people up. I know, like, there's been people that are like, this doesn't relate to Infinite at all. Why would this hype me up? It's like, that's not the point.
I mean, we're not saying do the hunt the truth, but type of disconnection. But
they're not. I mean, Hunt the Truth was trying to be. This is what's going on in the game. Where this obviously, thankfully, is not trying to say this is what's happening.
Right.
This is just
right.
Supplementary, material around. Well, Halo, which yeah, is
I always looked at Hunt the Truth as additional story. It touched on the game, but it really didn't give a lot away about the game. Of course, the story changed, but anyway,
I just felt misled.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I did. Well, I didn't feel misled with Hunt the Truth. The actual advertising for the game is where I felt misled.
I felt a little misled because they did kind of advertise it as this is kind of a prelude or a reasoning into some of the stuff that we are going to get in Halo 5. And there was a little bit because they mentioned the whole Guardian.
Like I said,
but
a little bit. But I never got listening to it. It didn't feel, even after I played the game, I didn't look at it as being misleading for the story. Other than when you put it with the actual advertising, then that's where the misleading part really goes. For me, at least. Hunt the Truth was just a really cool story to me.
Oh, it definitely is. And I mean, we obviously loved it because we did a podcast of it right after it came out with Toa Freak. But
yeah,
it definitely was one of those things where I felt like 343 was trying to force that, hey, this is part of the whole drum up to the actual story. Whereas something like I Love Bees, that was definitely more of a play on an more of an advertising campaign and wasn't directly connected with the campaign. But it seems like here it's kind of 343 has learned it's like, you don't necessarily have to shoehorn everything into the narrative of the.
No.
It just has to be related somehow.
They're talking about the Halo universe as a whole, not about Infinite.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interesting how they chose to basically have someone who's lost something because of the mission that they took. So they lost his vocal cords or whatever, and the sign language and all that. I thought that was a very interesting way to kind of bring out some of the dark side of things like war, where you lose abilities and ability to do certain things with great sacrifice, there's great reward and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was just very well played, and how it was done and produced, it kind of excites me for whatever the next one's going to be.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay. I am too. And I didn't have time to put this in the pre-reel, so for those that were in the Twitch chat early, you know that the first little video that comes up is the latest Mega Constructs video. They actually did drop another one, which I didn't have time to put into the pre-reel, but that'll be in there before Fraggin' Friday for tomorrow. So there's a new little Halo Mega Constructs video, so you'll get to check that out if you want to. That was also in the cannon fodder for this week. But let's get into the other juicy stuff. We've got another Inside Infinite taking a look at the UX UI and the character teams. Have you, either of you, had a chance to read this or look through it yet?
I briefly skimmed it. I was in a hot mess when it came out, and I forgot to ever go back to it.
I was away.
I haven't really got a good deep look at it, but
yeah,
things up as I go along.
From what I could tell, like, the character stuff didn't seem very new. Like, they talked a little bit about being able to pull from legacy and then what they've done. So being able to kind of mix and match things was actually a little bit easier for them because they could pull from all of these influences that have already been there and incorporate some new things without really feel like they're either abandoning previous stuff or introducing things that don't fit. So it gave them a lot more freedom than what they actually were thinking would happen. And then they also
Elite render looks sweet,
doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's like that, like, that's a mashup of almost everything great with an Elite model. Mm-hmm. Like, that Elite's pretty sick.
And the two grunts look really good as well.
Yes.
I the brutes, the jackals, just something isn't, like, making me love it. They look good, but they don't, I don't know, the Elite and the grunt, which I guess would be, to me, the, let's nod to a friend here, the iconic Covenant enemies. So I'm really glad to kind of see those designs not fully go back to the original, but kind of step back closer to what we played for most of our Halo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nod back to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like the Jackals, like, they're a pretty good representation of, I think, like, Halo 2, Halo 3. I think part of it was we just never had that much detail in the Jackals.
Yeah, they're just a higher detail than they were in those games.
Yeah. I think they, like, everything in here looks great. Even even Craig got a glow up as it was posted. And it's like, yeah, it's incredible. It's got a whole lot more detail. And, like, the brutes look incredible. The Spartan Killer is just all decked out in armor and plating. Just everything is... All the character renders they have in here are top-notch, really.
One thing I did like about it that I did catch is that the characters' armors are modular. They're actually separate pieces in the render, so they can swap them out.
And they did mention like having that ability through some of the Q&A that they talked about, like being able to blend in and kind of be a presence within Zeta Halo, and then just going along with that Banished mentality of piecing things together and scavenging it. Yeah, they definitely put a lot of effort into making sure that all those pieces are their own pieces that they can mix and match together. So I wonder how much of that's going to be randomly generated whenever you go into an encounter of, like, hey, if you play this one day and you come back and play another day, it's going to be a different armor configuration, because it could be a different, either maybe personality for a brute, or maybe just pure random generation where it's like, okay.
Or you picked up the armor pieces from the brute you killed yesterday.
Yeah. I could see a lot of different things really playing into how it can take advantage of the systems that they've made for Infinite through the slipspace engine and everything. So, anything else on characters that you guys want to bring up? I think, for the most part, just seeing the high-res models and all the improvements that they've done from last year to this year
is
just impressive.
Most definitely.
Haas, what you thinking?
I'm skimming this article. Reading about the HUD, sorry.
Yep. The HUD part is actually what was most interesting to me, because I don't know if we talked about this too much on here, but what's your guys' thoughts on all the HUD elements being basically moved down to the bottom two corners? Bottom right corner.
I don't like it, and I found myself irritated at their reasoning for it.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up a little bit because I kind of disagree with their analysis, although I'm...
Like, who said that? Who said that it felt, the HUD felt sweaty?
Yeah, well, the sweaty
I'm part, still trying to figure out how you can make a HUD sweaty.
Like, the game, Halo 5, was what was sweaty. It wasn't the HUD.
So let me just read this part, because this was the thing on the UI stuff that I disagree with the most, and everything else was like, yeah, this totally makes sense. But so the question was that I'm guessing Uni is the one writing this up, or Sketch possibly, but the UX UI team is responsible for many iconic elements that really define a Halo game. Can you talk about some of the changes or challenges you faced with evolving some of the legacy UI? What goals and reasons inform the changes we see in Infinite versus what we've seen in past Halo games? And then this is Vincent who is commenting, and Vincent is, let me try to find the top of the section. Vincent is the UX design lead for Halo Infinite. And he says, one of the major goals we had was for the UI to get out of the way of the strong visual experiences we were delivering in environments compared to past Halos. Front end menus are a little more muted to let the Spartans and scenes shine. Okay, that makes sense. For the HUD, we removed the helmet geometry, which is okay, past games have done that, and shifted persistent elements out of the top corners, like grenades and weapons, to reduce eye fatigue, cognitive load, and arena sweatiness, which were serious issues called out by Halo 5 players. These things were caused by the layout forcing players to scan all four corners of the screen constantly during gameplay. We want the pressure that players feel to come from the gameplay situation, not from the HUD layout.
Yeah, I never felt like the HUD was sweaty or made me fatigued. I mean, if there's too much information, that's fatiguing to me. But I've never looked at a single Halo HUD and been like overwhelmed by the amount of information on the HUD. And
you know, for me, like there's I'm trying really harder. Yeah. There's only really two places I look, or three places I look on the HUD: dead center, upper right, and lower left. I don't scan all four corners.
Yeah.
But I take that back. I'm looking all over the screen for targets. So I don't understand the eye fatigue.
Like, who gave them that feedback? That's all, like, honestly, that is what I want to know. Like,
how many people actually gave him that feedback?
I mean, I'm used to looking at top four things. Like, even day-to-day computer use. Where are your menus? You're at the top of the frickin' screen.
Well, now I feel like I'm looking down.
Yeah.
More. Like, maybe they think because we're all doing that with our cell phones, that's how we want to look at our computer or TV screens?
I honestly don't get it.
I mean, if they really wanted to do that, then they would need to take and move that off to the bottom right and put it right over the radar. So it's all right there in one area.
I think it's... I've never heard someone say that the UI contributes to the sweatiness of Arena.
And I've never heard that for any game.
Yeah. I've never heard it being called out by any Halo 5 player as a serious issue.
Like, if you compare it to other games, a lot of other games, they have the radar or mini map on the top left corner, and then your gun and your score or whatever on the along the bottom. But, like, there's still...
I mean, Halo has trained me to look up.
Yes.
Like, when I've played Fortnite, it feels weird to look down at the weapons on the bottom.
I'm okay with the energy shield placement.
I mean, even though it's the same spot,
it's still the same place it's always been,
except for Halo 2.
Except for Halo 2.
Well, yeah, okay.
Halo 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Well, Halo 1, it was still on the top of on the top of the bar, top of the screen. It was off to the right.
I don't know, something just feels a lot more natural of looking up and looking back. Mm-hmm.
How do you check your mirror when you're driving?
Looking up.
Or looking to the side. Up and to the right.
I mean, I know we're not going to get it, but I would really like some clarification on that. But
No, I would... Honestly, I don't need any clarification. I would just like to have the option to put the stuff where I want it.
Yeah. That, I mean, that'd be nice.
If they want to really combat fatigue, let the player choose where they put the HUD elements.
Yeah. I mean, heck, you have all the armor is customizable as far as what you can swap in and out. Mm-hmm. Why not do that with the HUD element?
That, I think we are planning to bring some player customizable elements into our HUD, so stay tuned.
Yeah. The only thing I really have a problem with is the grenade and equipment things. It's difficult to tell how many pieces of each you have. I mean, telling what you have available, you know, at the pull of the trigger is easy, but what do you have? Are you carrying frags and plasmas, or are you carrying frags and shock grenades, or, you know, you just, there's nothing there to tell you what the other grenade is. Same with equipment. You have to cycle through the equipment to know what you have,
which is less player info and, again, right, more sweaty.
I don't even hate the HUD. It doesn't feel natural to me as a Halo player. Weird. I can go to other games and I'll be perfectly fine. But as this has been one of the most, if not the most dominant game I've ever played, there's just certain things that, like, you just kind of expect to be in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
It feels weird. It feels very weird. I'd almost like to say, okay, put weapon in top left or top right, put the grenades and equipment in the other corner, and leave the radar down the bottom. Like, that mm-hmm. would be the perfect layout to me, honestly. We have that in other Halo games.
Well, and then the scoreboard goes along the bottom of your screen, too.
Yeah, like, everything is pushed into, like, these tight corners, and it's just...
It's all bottom third.
The nice thing about having those elements spaced out is you know where to look for what specific piece of information you're looking for. Whereas now if I'm going to the bottom screen, I have to sort through everything that's in there to find the specific piece of information that I want. And visually, that's busy. That's a waste of time. Like, in a way, that's sweaty because it's like, okay, you have to be able to mentally process all that information that's just staring you in this one little small box. I honestly don't get the reasoning behind this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not that reason, at least.
Yeah. And to cosplay's point, those icons are very small.
Yes.
I mean, along with the medals.
Yeah.
There's way too much packed in there.
It almost feels too minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the stuff with Halo Infinite's UI is very minimal. And, I mean, let me rephrase that a little bit. Other Halo games have had minimalistic ways of presenting things, but it feels like it kind of goes together. But given what we've seen in the flights for all the menus, it's all very square, very table-like. It doesn't really flow with a natural aesthetic of the presentation, it feels like. Like, Halo Reach, you had this whole kind of slide-in, slide-out feature, which was really cool. Halo 3 had a whole set of menu backgrounds and themes that kind of played with different colors of the player list, the menu, the configuring the game options. Like, it all kind of fit in, whereas a lot of these UI elements, at least for the main menu, just to seem to be like, okay, here is a menu element. Here is another menu element. This is totally separate from all the other things going on in the menu at the moment. At least that's what it feels like. Aside from that, though, a lot of the other stuff that they've talked about on the UI improvements are pretty exciting.
I mean, overall, I enjoyed the UI. I mean, it's different than traditional Halo games, but compared to what we've had in, like, the early iteration of MCC and Halo 5, I like it. It seems to be relatively easy to navigate via keyboard, mouse, or controller. You know, I can quickly find what I'm looking for and make adjustments to it. So, honestly, for me, don't get me wrong, the niceties of having nice art behind the to fill the back screen and stuff like that, it's great, but for me, UI is very utilitarian. As long as I can find what I want quickly and easily, I'm happy. Because I'm not spending my time playing around in menus. I want to be playing the game.
Well, and kind of as we just spoke about, how easy is it to get the information that you're looking for whenever it's all condensed into one corner?
Well, like I said, yeah, that part of it, yes, I have. Like I said before, the only thing I really have a problem with is the grenade and equipment section of that. That to me, if it was in, you know, say the weapons were in the top corner and the grenades were like right next to it, like they were in Halo 3, you know, where you had the four separate slots for grenades. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever you were carrying was, you know, lit up and showed you you had those grenades, gave you a number right below it, and then you could just tab over to change them.
Yep.
Same with equipment. You know, put that down and just below the weapons or down at the bottom of the screen where it is now and expand it out. So when you pick up a piece of equipment, a little icon shows there, says you have this.
Just needs to be more information. It's all condensed in one spot.
Better displayed. All the information's there, but you've got to thumb through it to find it.
Well, it's not all there at the get-go. It's there if you...
Well, like I said, if I want to see what grenades I have to cycle through the grenades that I have. If I want to see what pieces of equipment I have to cycle through the pieces of equipment.
Right.
Where, you know, like the weapons, it shows me my primary is an assault rifle. My backup, my secondary is a sidekick. You know, it gives me an icon on the screen, shows me how much ammunition I have for the equipped weapon.
Yep.
Which is nice, clear, concise. It's not too busy. It gives me all the information I need to know for my weapons in a glance. I can't do that with grenades or equipment. I mean, that's really my only complaint about it. I really don't care that it's at the bottom of the screen. Is it traditional Halo? No, it's not, but it's on the screen.
Yeah. I just hope they improve on that.
Quickly.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a not so great decision on
their part. In multiplayer, it's not too bad because in multiplayer, you can only hold one or two pieces of equipment.
One piece of equipment.
One piece of equipment.
Or at least currently, that may change.
Right. And you can hold two grenade types, which that's not a big... I mean, yeah, it's a big deal, but it's not game-breaking. Because most times you usually remember which grenade you have. But like in campaign, hell, I'm looking at a screenshot here. They got four grenades and three pieces of equipment.
Yep. Yep. And we got a raid. Hey, Hayden, how you doing?
Hey, Hayden. Thanks for the raid.
Add that to my bingo card.
I'll have that one.
Aside from that UI piece, everything else is pretty cool. The discussion about the Visor OS stuff, which basically all the different elements that you would see as far as like the Warthog dashboard and then on the back of the AR, the little display there.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole idea of all that being kind of tied together into one unified experience as far as UI elements go. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That also plays into the upgrade menu and the TAC map. Also, apparently the little XP boost and CR swap things, those graphic, basically anything that's kind of holographic or screen related is part of this Visor OS thing. And it's something that,
mm-hmm,
they say that hasn't really ever been thought of to revamp a lot of the UI elements in this manner. So they really took advantage of that to overhaul that system. And then they also talk about a lot more of the natural integration of text and other things that pop up on the HUD to be what it would be possibly like in real life. So the one gift they have here is one of the upgrades being applied and how it kind of would actually interface on the HUD, and seeing that actually integrated is pretty, like, makes sense. Like, that's what you would actually see on the screen. They also talk about displaying off the customization as far as the armor hall, the weapons, the vehicles. So they go into that a little bit. All the iconography for all of the manufacturers and other basic companies that you would see within the game. Also, all the decals on the weapons and how each decal was developed on its own. It's not part of the weapon. It's a own separate decal that they detailed out and then applied to the weapon. I thought that was cool. One of the things I've always done in Halo is, like, whenever there's a cool little piece of art on a item or something, like, take the little phone boxes on Blackout from Halo 3. There's a little Windows icon on, but the detail is so small because it got rendered out so in so low quality that you really can't see a lot of detail on it. And same thing with, like, other printed signs in past Halo games. Like, the detail is just literally not there because it got compressed down. But the fact that all of these are detailed graphics that are being applied onto the weapons, I think that's just really cool. Everything that they've done as far as those decals is incredible.
I'm looking forward to exploring the armory. They also, you know, they also have released a lot of the before and afters on some of their emblems to kind of clean them up and make them a little easier to distinguish. I like the changes that they've made there. They've also released several of the different weapon manufacturer emblems, which are kind of cool. Halo Cannon actually went through and he identified most of them. I think I got three of them when I looked at it.
I honestly haven't paid that much attention to a lot of them. I know Lethbridge Industrials. I know Mariah Armory.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two I really recognize. Or Mizraya Armory.
Yeah, Mizraya. But yeah, it's kind of cool. It's really cool that they're doing this, having this much detail in on the weapons. And they're able to have this much detail.
And all the iconography and all the little details and decals that in previous Halo games just got compressed onto the model, but now they're all detailed pieces that have been applied on here and probably gives way to being able to replace some of those items or graphics for, I don't know, other variants that we might get to see, kind of how we had in Halo 5 with variants of different weapons. Super Fiesta, maybe, coming back.
Maybe.
In some kind of way or form. So a lot of that kind of stuff is just, it's cool to see little details like that being really cared for and integrated into the experience, regardless of the whole HUD thing. But other than that, a lot of the detail that they're putting into it is really cool. They really like how they're incorporating it as, like, no, this is all universe stuff. This is actually what it would be like if this was real.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to exploring that stuff.
Yeah, me too. And that's a lot of the good stuff from that Inside Infinite is based on the characters and the UI UX type stuff. There's a couple other things at the bottom too. If you're interested, going over to Halo Waypoint and check out the article, but that covers most of it. And then we've also got the celebrating 20 years of Halo and the Master Chief Collection. So this is something that came out yesterday and got confused with the whole when Halo got released because they actually started celebrating it yesterday. So yeah, thanks for tripping me up or challenging me on my Halo history there, 343. Making me look like a fool.
Although I think I'm going to have to go for the Grunt plushie backpack. I haven't really been a fan of the backpacks, but I might have to go for the Grunt plushie.
Grunt plushie. Oh, Grunt plushie.
Mine's back there.
Yeah. You have one, Hoss?
In his grenade.
Grunt plushie? I have two. Yeah. My youngest has commandeered him, though.
Ah, very nice. I have.
Well, they're in safe hands.
These are my spares to give away at some point in the future. I have another one. Yep, another one on one of my display shelves. So at some point, these will be given away. We'll see when. I may keep one extra for whenever we have kids and give
just
one away.
Reasons? You want to make sure you can introduce them correctly to the Halo universe?
Exactly.
With a grunt plussy?
Exactly. Plushy? Yeah.
Okay, we got to talk about the new badges.
Yes, we do. You mean the nameplates?
Our nameplates, yes. Sorry.
Which one in particular are you talking about?
Oh, I'm pretty sure just any of them. Clippy.
Clippy.
Well, it's funny because like the Clippy's been brought back in the whole sense outside of just Halo. Like there's Clippy now in Microsoft Teams. There's Clippy. Yeah, Clippy's been brought back in the big way. But yeah, the Clippy nameplate, which I have a feeling a lot of old IT people are going to put that one on for MCC.
Hell, I might put it on.
I just might for shits and giggles. Bit. Yeah, I love it.
Well, yeah, that, and you've got the other one, which is looks like it comes from the Believe campaign from Halo 3.
Yep.
That's really good. The whole dancing cat head thing, I'm over that one.
Some people will love it.
I'm sure some people will love it, but of course, Clippy and Master Chief are my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a Halo 20th anniversary celebration one. It's a static one. And then the other are animated.
That one looks pretty clean, the 20th.
Yeah, it does.
That's a really clean design.
Yeah. And that's not all the nameplates. Those are just a sample of the ones that we're getting. They actually have a whole timeline of additional customizations that will be coming out over the next couple of months. Yesterday was the Orion armor for Halo 2 anniversary. And like Haas was alluding to, looks like most of these are going to be unlockable via season points only. So it is what it is, but that's kind of what we got. We've got the Duke shoulders and the Beast backpacks, which is basically the Duke controller and the original Xbox as a backpack
OG
item
Xbox
for Halo 3 customization. We've also got the OG X AR, the original Xbox AR. It is really cool. Xbox green and black. A lot of the color combinations to accent the original Xbox color. They've got it for all the major UNSC weapons for Halo 3. So the AR is November 17th. Then the BR is December 1st. The sniper rifle is December 15th. The Magnum is December 22nd. And then December 29th is the shotgun and the spanker. And those are all Halo 3 specific. On November 24th, we've got the Mirage armor for Halo 3 multiplayer. We've got the rucksack for Halo 3 multiplayer, so it's basically a Halo 3 backpack.
So you really can have your backpack on.
Yes, you can. Quite literally. We've got... Oh, that's another round of that. Okay. We've got the hydration container. This is for Halo Reach. This is a side pocket add-on. That's cool. There's a little Halo Reach thing in here. December 15th, we've got the Duke shoulders back for a second round of unlocks, and there's also the Franck box, which is a backpack with the hydration container and the rucksack and a little Franck lunchbox on the front as well. So a little different on that one. December 22nd, we have the Grunt plush just in time for Christmas. And it has a little plasma grenade on it. Wonder if that means if they'll start making the Grunt plushes again.
Oh, if they do, I hope so.
And it looks exactly like this, except the brown is a little bit more of a gold color and the backpack is green instead of orange.
The stitching looks different, too.
Well, yeah, this looks more like a knit than it does...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean it is this design through and through. Like it's got the white stripe down the front, the arms look the same, even the little fins out here. Like it is this design, but just in a digital and more cloth like look. December 29th was the spanker and the shotgun. Also on December 22nd we have the X pack, which is a variant of the rucksack. Basically just a different color. And then on January 5th is when we get the Orion armor. That original or actually that's back for a second time. So November 3rd and January 5th is for that Orion armor. And then we get that SPR armor, which is called Mirage armor, on November 24th. So lots of customization to celebrate 20 years of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I have to remember to get the Grunt plushie.
Yeah. They'll probably come around again, too. I doubt this is the only time they'll have them on release. Because, like, the past seasons where they've had the... I mean, we've only had two seasons of... I guess technically now three seasons of the Exchange. And they've rotated in old seasons exchanges in.
Yeah. So
this probably won't be the only time that you can get these, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's always a small possibility that because it is a 20-year celebration that it could be. Hopefully not, though. Hopefully they don't block that off for other people. That's all the news that we've got, though. Lots of things that actually came out since we had our last podcast, which we did as a separate podcast because I was out and we had some stuff to talk about with the campaign demo. So GT and I did a separate offline recording for that, and we got that out. Now we got Haas back just in time to change schedules on podcast recording. So, like we said before, we will be doing Thursday for next week for our main show. And then we'll look at changing schedules and we'll make the announcement on when that new date's going to be for the live stream version, which you can find on Twitch on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m., at least for next week. And then we'll hop back into the Thursday nights come the new year as well. We'll revert back to that after this crazy holiday season, for what's going to be at least. A couple of special announcements before doing the general exit announcements. The Fiesta Frenzy tournament registration ends on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So this is the tournament we're doing in coordination with Forge Hub, also partnering with Europa Halo and Halo Creation, the French Halo community, to do a HCS-style Super Fiesta craziness tournament. All the maps have been gone through. We have judged them. The announcement for the top winners are going to be made tomorrow over on Forge Hub, and then we'll be playing those actually for our Frag and Friday tomorrow. So if you want to be playing on some of the maps that we're going to be playing during the tournament, or if you just want to kind of have fun because it is Super Fiesta and it is fun after all, then come join us over on our Frag and Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time and join up for some fun. You can also check out the tournament info on our website, podtackler.com. We have a announcement update or announcement post there, along with all of the tournament rules and details that are pertaining to this tournament specifically. This is actually our very first tournament, as far as I can recall. And we're putting up a $2,000 prize pool for it. First place is going to get $1,000 for the whole team. And then second place is $650, and third place is $350. We need at least 8 teams to start. We've got 5 teams registered. I might get this out before Saturday. So if you're listening to this, probably getting close to the deadline, if not already passed. But hopefully we get enough teams to actually kick this thing off. And we'll be doing it the following weekend, starting on November 13th at noon is when we'll kick off the tournament side of things. So that's going to be 9 a.m. Pacific for the tournament start. Oh, you're talking about 4/5 extra live stream. Oh, well... So apparently 4/5 is doing an extra live stream on this Saturday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. So if anyone wants to go over there and support them in their stream, then thanks, Image Cosplay, for the shout-out, and feel free to go check them out over there. That would be 11 a.m. Eastern time and 4 p.m. British summer time. Any other announcements you all want to make or anything you want to mention up before I wrap up the rest of this and we close it out for the night?
Nothing from me.
I'm all good.
Cool. We are, what, 4 weeks away? 5 weeks. 5 weeks away from Infinite launching.
Tick, 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 tick.
I am 16 days away from my Xbox.
Are we 16? I thought, is that when they were?
Mine said it'd be here on the 20th.
Okay. I think ours are the same day. I couldn't remember if it was 15th or not. Yeah, that'll be crazy.
And I'm thinking it's going to go, well, right there where that book is.
So you're going to put your Xbox there and hook it up to your monitors from there?
I'm thinking I'm going to.
Okay. Get those long HDMI cables going.
Already got one.
All right.
I've already got a 10-footer just waiting.
But do you have the 4K HDR capture card?
I don't have a 4K monitor. So the answer is no.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking.
No, I don't need a 4K anything. Okay.
I may have bought an Elgato 4K 60 Pro Mark II today. I may have done that.
I look at it this way. I cannot stream in 4K. And
I'm doing it for the YouTube videos.
You don't have to stream in 4K.
Well, that's the main thing I do with its computer is stream.
But I'm saying you can see the visuals and it will just downscale to
1080p works just fine for me. I am not a video whore like some people.
If you like mediocrity,
cool. No, that would be 720p.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
I'm just a little bit of a snob.
That's below mediocrity. I'm a little bit of a snob.
Yeah, that's just HD, not full HD.
Right.
Or UHD.
Frame rates rule. Anyway.
Hey.
I mean, that is true.
I'm not opposed to frame rates over resolution.
I will be playing at a nice 144 hertz. Not, but anyway.
I want you back on that CRT.
Actually, I do have a CRT floating around here somewhere. It's an old touchscreen. I mean, literally a touchscreen.
Wow.
I'm going to see if I can still find drivers for that damn thing.
You know what?
If it would even turn on.
I have the power to force myself to actually get a bingo.
So do I.
Which one is it?
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, okay. We'll see who brings up either one of them in the chat. We'll see if it happens. Anyways, so that's going to wrap it up for our podcast tonight, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry we've been away for a few weeks from the live show, but we're hopefully back in the regular time slot, at least for the next week, and we'll see if that either stays. Well, it's not going to stay. It's going to change to something. We'll see what it changes to. But for those that are listening to the download, you can catch our show live on Twitch every Thursday, at least for the next week, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Whenever we make the schedule change, it'll still be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're just going to try to figure out which day it's going to be on that works with everyone's schedules, given the holidays and how crazy everything is around the holidays. We've also got our Fragment Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That will be on Halo 5 tomorrow as we play through the finalists of the Fiesta Fringy Forge contest, courtesy of the folks over at Forge Hub. Other than that, we would normally have a pull-up in our Discord, and you can find that over at podtacular.com/Discord. At least for the next month after tomorrow, we'll be putting up polls for which games that you all want to play for our Fragment Fridays. And you just go on over there and vote if you plan on playing, and then you can come join us. Send GT a message, and he will get you into the party.
It doesn't have to be a long message. All you have to do is just say hi or put a letter in there or whatever.
Or invite or
something. Or yeah. 4K over 1080, something weird.
Or Haas can suck my... Never mind.
Woo! You're getting spicy in here.
Oh! Spicy, spicy! Arriba, arriba! Andale, andale!
Arriba, arriba! Invite? 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 Someone say invite? You can also check out Achieving.
Still working on that.
We should probably make an invite command just to have one in there.
So it just spams invite in the chat?
Well, the beautiful thing is with Halo Infinite, you'll be able to do that through Steam, Discord, and Xbox apps.
That is true.
Oh, yeah. now you can just flat crash someone's computer. Not just their Xbox or their internet, you can actually break their computer.
I'm spamming you the first chance I get.
I'm turning Discord off.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. And then we have Achieving Halo on Sundays, starting between 9 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be going through Season 8 challenges for the next week or so, and then we'll be hopping on over to 360 And GT is playing Space Invaders, which I feel like that should be something on the bingo card as well, as whenever GT brings up a game on his video capture device. Anyways. Yep, now we've got Galaga. Now GT's playing Galaga. Anyways. You can check out the podcast on a number of different social media websites. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can give us a follow over there. We also have a YouTube channel, which will probably become a little bit more active once Halo Infinite comes out. And we can start posting some videos. If we get early press release copies and able to post some videos, we might do some of that beforehand. Otherwise, probably we'll do something along the lines of some gameplay run-throughs, some campaign type stuff, or maybe some multiplayer stuff. We'll kind of see as we get to close to Halo Infinite's release. We've also got our Discord, which you can join us, podtaggler.com/discord, and now GT is playing Pong. We've also got our Spartan Company, which you can join us as we're continuing to go everyone is playing with background effects on Skype call right now. Our Spartan Company, which you can continue to help us go for some of those company commendations, which we'll continue to grind out at least until Infinite comes, and then maybe a few handful of us will continue to try to get the Keeley's helmet at some point. We'll see if that ever happens, if it happens. We've also got our Xbox Club. And if you have any clips or screenshots you want to share, especially when Halo Infinite comes out, feel free to post them to our club page. Hoss is playing solitaire. And go ahead and share those with us. And we'll talk about them here on the show in our little Tales from the Foxhole segment. We've also got multiple places where you can listen to the podcast. We are on iTunes, Amazon Podcast, Facebook Podcast Now, Spotify, TuneIn, pretty much wherever you can listen to podcasts, we should be available to listen and download. If there's a place that we're not and you want to find Podtacular on a specific podcasting service, please reach out to us and let us know, and we will work to get our podcast on that platform as soon as we can. There are multiple ways to support the community. Biggest way to do that is just to share whenever we have things going on, like the tournament that we're about to do, and also whenever we have the podcast or game nights. Sharing that with your friends on social media and getting people involved is the easiest way to contribute to the podcast. Also, getting involved with the community over on Discord as well also helps. If you choose to support us monetarily, you may do so as well. We have multiple ways to do that. One big way to do that is through Twitch subscriptions. GT's actually playing solitaire on his monitor back there. Or you can ask Pins for a subscription, because that's a thing. He's gifted 248 subscriptions at this point. And he himself, I think, has over 78 months of subscribing to the podcast as well. So if you need a subscription, just ask Pins. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to give you one. Or you can use your Prime subscription on the channel as well, if you so choose. You can also support us on Patreon. We have a Patreon where you can access all of our podcast VODs, show notes, and other little goodies as far as getting some perks like being a guest on the show, getting some Podtacular swag, at least until we actually get a store up and going. We might do that next year. But for the time being, you can head on over to podtacular.com/Patreon, and we have handful of folks over there who have been steady through the last year or so that we've actually had this out. So big thanks to Pins Halo for double dipping in both the Patreon and the Twitch subscriptions. We've also got Prestige, who is a guest host on the podcast a little bit earlier in the year. We've also got Confal, who's been contributing over on the Patreon as well. So thank you all for your continued support of the podcast. It means a lot to us and is one of the reasons why we're able to actually host the tournament and have a prize pool. We've also got PayPal if you choose to donate to us directly. And those are all the ways that you can support us monetarily if you still choose. Obviously, we do this podcast because we love Halo. We are passionate about Halo, so there's no commitment needed there. But if you like what you hear and if you are able to contribute, then those are the different ways that you can do so. that'll wrap it up for us tonight until we get some more major news next week. It seems like the advertising train for Halo Infinite is in full steam now. Totally forgot to talk about one thing.
What?
The new multiplayer map that was announced over on IGN.
No, nobody wants to know about that.
I totally forgot about that until just now. So, shoehorning that in real quick before we end. There's a new map that was revealed.
Edit. Oh.
I'm just going to keep this here at the end. May fit in the exit audio and then bring it back out. We'll see what happens. But yeah, new gameplay and new video for a map called Streets, which is part of New Mombasa. Initial thoughts?
Map looks promising. I think it will be potentially a great competitive arena map. I want to see somebody not from IGN playing on it.
Oh, that was...
And with competitive settings. I love the aesthetic.
Oh, wasn't that fun?
Yeah. I like the size of the map, so I think there's a lot of promise there. So it'll be cool to see some competent gameplay on there.
Yeah, I've seen the memes on social media on how bad the gameplay was, and it was...
Oh, did you see what Mint Blizz put on YouTube?
No.
He put a highlight reel in up.
Oh no.
And how is this not on your front page, IGN?
It's so cringy. Well, they've had so many articles come out since yesterday. Like, I went there was nothing Halo on their homepage. I basically had to search for Halo Infinite on their website. But there's a Strongholds gameplay and an Oddball gameplay on this new map Streets, and then there was an overview video that they did a couple of days ago as well.
So if you really want to feel better about yourself, go watch the videos.
Yeah. I think all of our gameplay is better than that.
If you want to make yourself feel better, go watch this gameplay. Which one is forward? Oh.
That's basically what it felt like. Like, whiffing melees and just holding a overcharged plasma pistol for, like, what, 20 seconds?
That was my favorite part.
Well, yeah, until he depleted it.
Like, did they give the intern that's never played a video game before the controls to, or like has played Minecraft and that's it?
Really?
I don't know what.
That was rough.
I think rough really? is going easy, to be honest.
Trying to be nice.
So yeah.
Thank God for the Academy. Am I right?
Sorry, IGN. We're laughing with you, not at you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I get not wanting to have sweaty gameplay for people.
But at least make it look real.
It needs to be competent. Give it to
just some like random tester in there. I don't know. Record their gameplay. Somebody that's been playing these maps for the last 6, 4, 3, 2, 1 years.
Did David Ellis really have a subtweet, Eriky Boo? I missed that.
Yes, he did.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. I guess I could look that up.
Thank God for the Academy or something.
That's a pretty good subtweet. If that was indeed the subtweet. Oh man. That's wow.
No, I can't watch this anymore. This is just painful.
Yep, I watched about 20 seconds of it and I'm like, I can't.
It does look good.
I mean, the game looks good, sure, but like whenever it's
the map, not the gameplay.
Right. That's I knew what you meant, but leaves a lot to be desired. Anyway,
you know, I just realized something.
What?
I haven't seen any advertisements for a primer guide for Halo Infinite yet.
Huh?
No pre-order or anything.
That's a good point.
That's kind of curious because that's kind of part of my collection game primer guide.
Yep.
Yeah, the only thing that Prima has as far as Halo Infinite is just news stuff. Nothing about a Prima guide for Infinite. Yeah. That's weird. Because there's usually like special edition. Like Halo Wars 2 had a special edition. Halo 5 Guardians has a special
edition. You either have the standard edition soft cover, and then you have the hardcover that gives you all the extra information.
and sometimes has like codes in it. Like that'd be mm-hmm. a perfect like double XP code thing too.
Yeah.
Oh, which they had Halo branded Cheez-Its, which I actually bought when we were on our vacation.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I got a box. And now I actually have bought, other than the Pringles can that 343 actually gave me, I actually finally bought my first piece of like Halo promotional food items with double XP on it. Finally.
Yeah, I still haven't.
And I did buy myself the Razer mouse pad. I did do that.
I'm still thinking about it.
Just with all, like, it was one of those things, I had been buying all of the MCC mouse pads, and I didn't get my hands on Halo 3. And they're like, nowhere. So it's like, well, now I don't have a complete set, so now I don't want to use them. So I bought the Razer mouse pad because it has the light integration. So I figured I've already got a good gaming mouse and keyboard. So a mouse pad that's ultra wide and at least has the color effect. So I can get the color effect at least with the band around the mouse pad without having to invest in a Razer keyboard or mouse.
The one thing I'm curious about with that Razer keyboard and mouse, since the Series X supports keyboard and mouse, will the effects work?
No, they won't. Unless Razer decides to come out with a UWP Chroma app, which there is not one currently. So no.
How do we know it hasn't been put in the game?
I thought they said in that PC overview that your keyboard, mouse, and mouse pad will react to things that are happening in the game.
Yeah.
Through Razer Chroma.
But that still means the game has to communicate with Chroma.
It uses APIs. That's not on
like Xbox. Like I said.
It's not on
Xbox. How do you know? There's APIs on Xbox.
Not those APIs.
But anyway...
I mean, yes, technically they could be there, but there is a very, 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 very slim chance that they'd be there. Technically, yes, it could be possible, but it's just not there. Just plain and simple.
What do you know? You're not the developer.
Razer Chroma app to the Xbox Series X.
I mean, they might.
And us.
They might.
I've seen weirder things.
On the Xbox? Like... What?
Oh, I'd have to go back through my archive.
Oh. Anyways. Well, that will wrap it up for us tonight, then. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sticking with our end of the podcast tangent. We'll see some of you all tomorrow for Fraggin' Friday, and some of you all next week for our next installment of the Podtacular Podcast. But until then, keep on fragging the trucks.